Let us pray. Creating God, you create the stars in the sky, the flowers of the field, and the fish of the sea. You create our lives to live out love, and you sustain us when the world feels too heavy. You always create new mornings, and for that, we give thanks. Amen. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Oh God, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today we are in week number 5 of our sermon series considering the hymns of our faith, especially these hymns that bring us into the season that we call Holy Week. The time next week will be hymns of Holy Week and then the hymns of Easter on Easter Sunday. We started this sermon series by talking about our Creator, God, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The week after that, we talked about our beautiful Savior. We sang hymns for and about Jesus. In the third week, Karen Birkelbach brought the message, and it was hymns of forgiveness. Hymns of forgiveness. Last week, we talked about hymns of vision. My best thought. We thought about last week. This week is hymns of beauty. Hymns of beauty. And it always kind of strikes me as kind of strange that Lent falls at the most beautiful time of the year. It's a season where it's kind of gray and there's ashes, and then we enter into Holy Week and it's dark, but yet outside it's as if creation's already a little bit ahead of us, already popping up from the ground. And I always think of my mother, Mama Lynn. She would hear these birds in North Carolina, and she would kind of go out in her garden and be working in her garden, and the birds would be singing, and Mama Lynn could understand them. I know that's wild. At least she could translate what she thought they were saying. And there was this one bird in North Carolina, and it would go just like that. Maybe I can do it. So just like that. And Mama Lynn, of course, would hear, "He's here. He's here." Wow. You know, it's appointment season for United Methodist pastors, and many of my colleagues are being called from their district superintendents and you know, Methodist itinerant system. And I go out in my yard and I hear, which of course is stay here. Stay here. That's what I hear. And this morning I went out and at the sunrise, just the beginning of day this morning, and I heard a bird, and you know what it said? It's just complete gibberish. Warble, 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 warble. And another bird in another tree was warbling back. And I just, I realized, and what we all realize is that creation already knows how to praise God. How to look for the sun, the sunflower Ms. Marcia talked about, just following the sun. It's as if we're the last to really know, to really be who we really are. We're the ones that have to remember to be still and to know, because we scurry. I scurry and I hurry and I get distracted and I miss it. And it's right in front of me. Take time to consider the lilies of the field, Jesus said. I'll talk about that in just a little bit. But I wanted to talk about the most beautiful thing that happens every day. No matter how rotten your day is, no matter what you've done, no matter how jaded or cynical you could become, the sun is going to come up tomorrow morning, just like it came up this morning. It's a beautiful thing to remember. Annie told us in that one play years ago, the sun will come out tomorrow. And this morning we sang, "Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see." Morning by morning. This wonderful song of springtime and harvest and all of the seasons. We we understand this. Thy changeth not, thy compassions, they fail not. This lovely hymn might even be stuck in your mind this morning. You ever think a song that gets stuck in your mind is really a gift? It's like God telling you to pay attention to this. Great is thy faithfulness. Going about your day. Have a taco at lunch. You'll still be singing that. Great is thy faithfulness. Yeah, that beautiful hymn. Little did we know that we are singing a song that is thousands of years old. It goes all the way back to a very unusual place that you wouldn't expect to find it, in the book of Lamentations, right? Lamentations reads this way. In chapter 3, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This line, his mercies never come to an end, the original Greek and also the King James Version is thy compassion, they fail not. Just like we sing in the song. It's right here from Lamentations. And this was written at a time where things were at their worst with God's people. The Babylonians, the Assyrians had conquered Jerusalem. The temple was reduced to ashes. The people were in exile. And yet, there is this hope. It's as if after the darkest of night, there's a sunrise that happens. And there's hope. Sort of breaking through for God's people. Every morning there's new mercies. And of course that would remind God's people of another time when they were wandering in the desert in the Exodus and they were without food. And every morning they would wake up and there would be this manna that would cover the ground. And it wasn't like all that great and tasty. It needed some salt and all that kind of stuff. But it was there to provide food for the people. And you know the word manna, the Hebrew word for the word manna means, what is it? Really, seriously, that's what it means. What is it? There it is every morning to provide. God will provide for us in that way. It's beautiful to think about. And when we think of that, another hymn just a few pages later, if you're at hymn 140, and then you turn just a few pages to 145, it's the hymn, Morning Has Broken. And right there at the bottom of the page, it will point you once again to this passage in Lamentations, that each and every morning is a cause for celebration. And we think about that, each and every morning is kind of Easter reenacted from... And God's people they started the day in the evening because morning follows evening, light follows darkness, and every morning is a new day, a renewed hope, a chance to see this and to know that there is something deeper than the way we feel, and that is joy, and that we're to rejoice as God's people. Now, it doesn't seem like a message that would be in Lent. Maybe you think, well, maybe you should save this message till after Easter so we can all be like, he's risen, and then talk about the happy stuff and maybe like next week's death. And But every evening gets dark and turns to morning. So every morning is a little chance to celebrate once again. Every Sunday morning is for rejoicing and being joyful. That's beautiful to think about. We have another song another hymn that we treasure, and it's one that you just can't be down and out and sing this song. It's going to have a way of helping us to do this, and it's called "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee." It was written in the early about 100 years ago. The words were written that we know and love, but really it's, if you're going about your day singing, joyful, joyful, we adore thee, you are singing Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, the finale of lovely Ludwig van Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. I had a conversation with Matt Evans about that this week, and he reminded me that this was Well, he's got a lot. Could you say just a couple things about it?
Yeah. So Beethoven obviously wrote this, but he did not write the theme we all know. That was a popular theme already. And what was significant about the Ninth Symphony was that no time in recorded history before had vocal works been infused into a symphony. And so it concluded the symphony. It was the first time anybody had ever seen an orchestra that large, ever heard that many voices. It was an ode to the triumph of hope and brotherhood. And so he wanted it to be really big. And the irony of that is that at that point, he was completely deaf. And at the first show when he performed it, the mezzo-soprano had to turn him around to show him the whole audience was on their feet, standing and cheering and going wild.
Oh. That's a tribute to all, and the lines in the song is all men are brothers, all people are siblings. And it was at a time of great turmoil in the state. And he wrote this to bring people together. And so we said, thank you for that. We had an awesome conversation. Matt's got a lot more to say about it as well. So you'll have to talk to him about Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. It's just this wonderful, wonderful piece. And in the poetry and the lyrics that were written in 1907 by Henry Van Dyke, it contains this beautiful line that I've been thinking about all week, and it's, "Hearts unfold like flowers before thee." How we're comparing our hearts opening up to God the way that flowers unfold. And I think about Jesus, who told us to consider the lilies of the field. Now, this evening at one of our prayer stations, we're going to have a chance to sit in front of these calla lilies. I've got these beautiful calla lilies that are just stunning. And, you know, it takes a little time to really consider. The word consider that we have in our gospel is really the word katamene, and it means more than just consider, like, look at the flowers, check them out. It's like, really carefully study this. This has something to teach you. They don't worry about their clothing. They don't worry. They don't toil or spin. As the scripture said, they neither toil nor spin. And yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. We can see this beauty in ways that we need to take some time and notice and take in. Consider these flowers and our hearts unfolding like flowers before thee, the song says. What does a flower need to unfold? What kind of conditions? Our hearts need those same kind of conditions. Tenderness, care, sunshine, presence of God in our lives. We lift this up. We air this out. We put some light on it. That's what our hearts need. You know, we think about this when we think about sin and death and those kind of things that are hidden and dark. People in treatment say you're only as sick as your secrets. That you can open these things up. Just like you ever tried to clean your house with the lights off? It doesn't work. There's something about opening up to the light where we can tell what needs work, what needs help. That's an opportunity that we have as we come forward to communion as well, that our hearts are unfolding like flowers before thee. Our hands will be open in that way and empty to receive the bread of life, the cup of salvation. Anything that is needing to die, it's time to let that go so that new life can happen within. Another chance, another day. A day, and then another day, and then another day. Morning by morning, new mercies we see.